We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the NBA Front Office Show. We've got a lot to talk about on today's show. As always, plenty of things happening around the NBA. Make sure you do subscribe to the channel. Turn on those notifications as well. We're going to keep you up to date on everything, even once we get into August, and we'll see if the trade market does pick up. We're still going to be right here going through everything with you. So again, hit that subscribe button. Keith, how are you doing? We've got a few things to sink our teeth into today.
Yeah, I'm good. We had a good time last night on playback for Celtics Lakers. Once finally I got it to work, and you know, took me what the better part of the first quarter, but we finally got there and we had a great time with that. Did a bunch of Q&A throughout because let's face it, it was a summer league game and it wasn't the best summer league game either. So we made the best of it and had a great time anyway. And yeah, we've got some stuff to get into, a little bit lighter right now, as everybody knows. But still some news, a lot of guards on the move. So I guess, there's some of that going on, but yeah, where do you want to start?
Let's just start with those guards right now. In fact, let's begin with Russell Westbrook. Why is he still a Clipper? He's only making $4 million. We've heard he's going to the Denver Nuggets forever. And well, okay, it's been like a few weeks, but still, in NBA years, this part of the season, like every day feels like an entire year. Why is Russell Westbrook still, as of this moment, a Clipper?
I don't know. It seems like the Nuggets are interested. I think we talked about this on the playback last night.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Sorry for destroying anybody's eardrums there. Gary Trent Jr. has agreed to a one-year deal with the Milwaukee Bucks.
That has to be a minimum deal.
It's got to be a minimum deal.
That's all they had to offer. Wow, what a get for the Bucks. That is an outstanding pickup for them. I mean, for the minimum, like, you just filled in your starting shooting guard spot there. So that's crazy for the minimum.
Unreal. Now I'm assuming that's going to be a 1 year deal. Yeah. 1 year deal to the Bucks. Whenever they say 1 year deal and they don't list the salary, that's why you know, it's a minimum.
Yep.
Wow.
Can't be a sign and trade. Cause they're well over the first apron.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that wouldn't be a thing. That would have to be at least a 3 year deal as well. I'm rapidly here pulling up the Bucks, cap sheet. And sorry, Russ, we'll come back to you momentarily. So, all right. So now you've got kind of your wing rotation now, Chris Middleton, Gary Trent Jr., Pat Connaughton. You've got the younger guys like Andre Jackson Jr., AJ Green, maybe Marjon Beauchamp gets in there, and then Taurean Prince, but probably much more of a forward for this team. So Bucks, that's what a pickup. Like, that is, like, I mean, whew. What did we hear last week? Wasn't it two? He was looking for 25
million.
Like, and he took two. So, yeah. But, I mean, great spot for him, right? He'll get a chance to play on what should be a pretty good team and move on with that.
My assumption is they told him, you'll start. That's my guess.
Yeah, if not start like huge minutes, but I think he probably starts. This probably pushes Prince to the bench, and now Prince will kind of be like their backup forward or something like that. So, yeah.
Hang on, let me log back in here to SpotTrack, and then I want to because I'm a little confused. I've got their cap based on what SpotTrack has here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they're at 189 made. So are they going to become a second tier apron team then?
They're already a second.
They're already a second tier apron team, just barely. So this is going further into second tier apron territory, unless they can shed some salary.
Yeah. Which I mean, at the end of the day, whatever, right? They're not super deep into it, but 2 million more onto their tax bill will be about 22-ish million in, and then that's going to be a pretty good sized tax bill, but you're trying to win, right? You're trying to prove to Giannis and folks that you go from there.
I'm shocked. You know, I just did a show for Lakers Nation where I said, you know, there's no rush for Gary Trent Jr. to take the taxpayer MLE from anybody because that's probably his floor. And here he is taking a veteran minimum. I never would have guessed he would take a minimum contract. I figured at least he would get a taxpayer from somebody, if not maybe a full MLE from somebody. This is shocking. Again, though, my guess is he's looking at this saying, I need to focus on what's going to get me the most money next summer in free agency. So let me go someplace where I'm going to play all the minutes. I'm going to be in a big role no matter what happens. And that's going to allow me to cash in next summer.
Yeah, it gotta be. Yeah. You like gotta be for sure with that. I would. So if we do it kind of too deep style almost, right. Mm-hmm. It's football season's coming up here, but so you have Lopez and Portis as your two centers. And I realize Portis, Giannis, Lopez is really your three big rotation, but then you have Torian Prince now can swing between the two forward spots behind Giannis, and as well as I imagine Chris Middleton will slide up to play the three, which he's done a lot in his career. Then you've got Middleton and like Andre Jackson Jr. would be the guy I would go with there. Then you have now Trent Jr. and Pat Connaughton, and then Damian Lillard and DeLon Wright. So you really actually have a roster now that's 10 deep in actual NBA guys, and that's huge for Milwaukee considering where they were towards the end of last season. I mean, if we go all the way into the playoffs, they had like six NBA players left by that point. So, I mean, that's pretty good work to get DeLon Wright, Torian Prince, and Gary Trent Jr. all on minimum contracts.
That's incredible.
That's a monster offseason for the Bucks.
We talked about last night when we were doing Lakers Celtics about which team may have had a really good offseason. I mean, the Bucks, their offseason looks great now that you got him, especially just given, not that all of these players are world beaters, but the value in terms of the prices that you got them at, absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Trent's always been, for my money, a little overrated on defense. I don't think he's ever been fully that like stopper that people make him out to be.
He was good in Portland and hasn't been good since. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But he's better than anything else they had at that spot. So that's big too, right? Because you're in the East, right? You're having to guard against like Donovan Mitchell, the Celtics wings, the Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Paul George now in Philly, along with Tyrese Maxey. I'm literally doing this on the fly off the top of my head, but like Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero. Now you've got a guy in the East. You can kind of at least throw on those guys and make them work more than they probably would have otherwise. So I couldn't be more impressed with what Milwaukee did. And that should just about finish them out. They had one open standard roster spot, and it looks like Trent's going to get it.
That's unbelievable. Great work there by the Bucks to get that done. Can't believe that still disbelief that he was able to be had on a minimum contract after searching for $25 million. But again, we'll see if he cashes in next year in free agency next summer. Okay. Apologies to Russell Westbrook. You got pushed aside for a moment.
Like the Matt Damon at the end Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Exactly.
Sorry, Russ, we ran out of time.
Exactly. Yeah. Russ, does he go to Denver ultimately? And does Denver really not want to pay? Does I get not wanting Russell Westbrook on a $40+ million contract. Unfortunately, I understand that all too well. Does Denver not want Russ on a $4 million contract?
So I think that's probably part of the issue here, right? They could very easily right now today bring him into the Reggie Jackson trade exception. No issues there. Yeah, I would hard cap him at the second apron, but they've got clearance under that second apron after losing KCP. Even with their other moves, I think they are. Let me double check. Denver is, they're barely over the first apron. So they've got $10.5 million of clearance. So you could bring him in. That still leaves you even with $6 million more, and that's more than enough wiggle room to do the other things, because they've only got a couple open roster spots. But my guess is they'd rather not pay that tax on $4 million when, if he gets waived by the Clippers, then they can just sign him to a veteran minimum and only pay him a little over $2 million. And basically then you've cut your investment in half at that point. And that's probably the direction where they want to go, if I'm being completely honest with this, because why? You know, why bother going down the path of getting him for more money? Now, this might be one where it is, all right, hey, then we're going to send him to Utah again, or we're going to send him to Detroit and let them handle it, and, you know, however they want to do it. And then maybe they don't get him. And then maybe Denver says, all right, fine, we'll bring him in with this. From the Clippers side, I think what they want to do, because they're trying to do that Chris Dunn sign and trade, They would probably like to do this as like a three-team set of sign and trades, where it is, hey, we take in Chris Dunn, you move with through a sign and trade, Westbrook goes to you, and then Denver sends, I don't know, some middling fake asset to Utah to kind of round things out there and satisfy the touch rules. But for now, this is kind of where we're at. Russ is just kind of stuck, but he's not the only one. Did you see Lawrence Frank said PJ Tucker and Bones Highland too? So like three guys that they're like, yeah, we don't really want them, so let's figure it out. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, that is, it's this whole situation is, it's strange in that it just hasn't happened yet. Like you would expect some of this stuff to come together by this point. And the fact that it still just hasn't gone down is surprising, especially that this is where we're at with Russell Westbrook. Typically not a guy that you would necessarily be worried about kind of the minor moves and that, you know, trying to get it exactly right. You just say, hey, he's Russell Westbrook. We want this guy. Let's go get him. Let's make this happen. Even the diminished version of Russell Westbrook that we've got now. So I still think he ultimately winds up in Denver here, but we'll just see how exactly it takes place.
Yeah, and unlike PJ Tucker, who I think is probably pretty close to done as a useful NBA player, Westbrook still has value. I think especially on that Nuggets team. Look at that bench group. After you get past, so it's, there's going to start as of right now, Jokic, Gordon, Porter, Brown, and Murray. Then after that, that's a whole lot of guys that you're just kind of, all right, hopefully one or two of them pop and figure it out. Westbrook at least gives them some juice, and they don't have much at the point guard spot. I think they were really hoping Jalen Pickett would come back after an up-and-down rookie year, mostly down, but really come back, ready to go, be the backup point guard. And he hasn't looked good at all in summer league. It is only summer league, but when you haven't looked that good, that's really tough. So I think now they're in a spot where, all right, let's get somebody else in here. Let Pickett continue his development and see if he can figure it out. Otherwise, next year we'll sort through that. But yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook would at least give them some juice off the bench. And I got to believe in a team with like Jokic and those guys, like maybe they keep them kind of under wraps a little bit, but you kind of want an engine driver on that second unit, right? Like let him go out there and run up and down and do the stuff he does. Like, why not? Like it would add, like you said, it's energy, bounce, juice, whatever you want to call it, to your second unit. Like off he goes, run pick and roll, pick and pop with Sarge and do their thing for 10, 15 minutes a night in the regular season. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to another guard that is on the move. Patrick Beverley moving out of the NBA, going to Israel to go play. Does his 4-game suspension still count?
Not in Israel, it won't. No. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that was like the end of like reason why, but I do think teams had just tired of it. I think teams were like, there's a lot of nonsense that comes with signing Pat Bev, a lot of stuff, right? And part of it is going to be that 4-game suspension, his podcast, his treatment of media folks. I think you hit a point where the off the court outweighs the on court production. I think we tripped over that barrier. And I think the NBA teams collectively are like, yeah, for a minimum, we're good. So he's headed to Hapoel Tel Aviv, where he'll play over in Israel. And you know, my guess is figured out. He said they gave him everything he wanted. I don't know what that means. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'm guessing do your podcast in the middle of the game. I don't know. Like, who knows?
But, yeah, maybe that's it.
Maybe. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think we're in a spot where this is probably it for Pat Beverly in the NBA, would be my guess. Yeah. Maybe this is one of those ones where he gets waived midway through the season in Israel, comes back, team picks him up for like a veteran guard on a playoff run. But I got to believe it's probably done.
Summer's here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the all-new Prologue EV, there's a lot that can impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Yeah, that's probably it. I wonder what that ultimately means for his podcast and everything, but Patrick Beverly, done most likely in the NBA. But, you know, we still see guys have good second careers overseas sometimes. So we'll see where this thing all goes with Israel. Seth Curry winds up back with the Charlotte Hornets. We know the Curry family obviously has deep ties with Charlotte. And so he'll stick around with that team, provide another veteran presence. We talked yesterday about Taj Gibson. Seth Curry can be a veteran guard for them to come in, hit some shots every now and then. But ultimately, this team's going to be all about LaMelo Ball. But Curry coming back on a minimum contract, no issues there for Charlotte, who they could use, you know, adults in the room.
Yeah, without a doubt. We got into it a little bit on the playback show because somebody asked about Nick Richards, and I was saying I don't think Charlotte's just going to give him away because of Mark Williams and some of the issues he's had staying healthy. But I kind of use that to segue into, I was looking at some stuff with the Hornets. So this is their kind of two deep, if you will. It's, yeah, Mark Williams, Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller, Josh Green, LaMelo Ball. That's who I think probably starts for them. I mean, Josh Green gets the nod because he would be by a pretty wide margin the best defender. He's the best wing defender they have in there, without a doubt. And then you've got Nick Richards behind Mark Williams, Grant Williams behind Miles Bridges, Cody Martin behind Brandon Miller, Trey Mann behind Josh Green, and Vasily Micic behind LaMelo Ball. And then you've got like Seth Curry, Nick Smith Jr., you've got Tijan Salon, their rookie that they just drafted, and then Taj Gibson. That's actually a pretty functional roster. And with the state of the Eastern Conference, like it's hard to fight. Like, you have to basically get to, I don't know, I guess, for the 10th spot and the final spot in the play-in. Charlotte could be that team. Like, that's going to be a pretty good offensive team, I think, as long as LaMelo Ball is healthy. They're not going to stop anybody defensively, but they might be able to score enough points to get themselves into 10th in the conference, which, hey, that's moving things forward, I guess.
Which is exactly what you got to do if you're the Hornets. Just trying to increment
it in a year where the draft class is freaking loaded at the top, and it's like,
yeah, that's the downside, right? I mean, we'll have plenty of time to talk about it, but I think the tank race this year is going to be pretty competitive with a guy like Cooper Flagg there as well as others. But mm-hmm. this is going to be something to keep an eye on. But yeah, I mean, is this the year to really go for it if you're the Hornets? But you know what? I don't know that the Hornets went into the season last year saying we're going to tank, right?
Sure. Yeah. It happened when Ball got hurt.
Yeah, you kind of ultimately wind up there, and that's, you know, that's kind of the way that it goes sometimes. So we'll see. I'm sure they will adjust on the fly as needed.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think with them too, what is really kind of, I guess the best way to put this is, like, let's see where they're at come like the trade deadline too. Because if it is, all right, we're in range of we trade a couple guys or we sit a couple guys and then we can get into the race for a really good draft pick. That's when all of a sudden, oh, LaMelo Ball's ankle is hurting him again. Sorry, he's going to miss a bunch of games. And then all of a sudden we start, you know, all those shenanigans. I don't think I've actually said it on front office show yet. And if I have, I apologize. But I was texting with a front office, couple of different guys during the Team USA scrimmages against the select team. And I was like, so what did, because I knew this was the first team time those folks had seen Cooper Flagg in person. And I said, what do you think? And they're like, start tanking today. Like, teams are going to be tanking day one to try to get him. And again, I'm just going to throw it out there. He's the top prospect coming in right now. But you also have Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, VJ Edgecombe, and Nolan Traore. Most people who I respect in the league and like amateur draft people have those five guys. Is any five of them would have been the number one pick in this draft we just had. So that gives you a sense of how good this class is at the top, at least. And then there's pretty good depth behind those guys, but those five guys look like they're the real deal.
All right. So it could be an interesting draft class, maybe a little bit more top end talent than what we've seen in this year's studio. Stu is on one today. Friend. What's that?
No, maybe about that, my friend. Definitely.
Well, sure.
Talent. What's what? Yeah. Stu's all over, man. He's all
he is on one. He's like, man, we've got a Gary Trent Jr. deal. We got all this stuff happening. I got to be involved. I got to make my presence known on this show. I'm going to knock some stuff off the desk here.
Here we go.
That's what he's doing.
Studio Stu's like Harry Trent Jr.
Oh no. Oh no. He's got a new nickname. Campaign winds up signing with the Knicks. Not a bad pickup. Now there were some rumors that maybe they were interested in Tyus Jones. You know, how they were going to get there to get him, I'm not sure, but as a reserve guard, I guess you could do worse than Campaign, who has one of the funkiest looking jump shots in the NBA, I have to say. He's like sideways when he shoots the thing, but he's okay as a backup guard, I guess. I don't think the Knicks are probably going to play him a ton, but just to round out your roster, sure.
Campaign looks like a right-handed player shooting left-handed. Like, that's how I describe his form. Like, that's kind of so weird. Right? Like, it's so awkward, but it's also weird. He shoots completely differently when he shoots off the dribble pull-ups than when he shoots spot-ups. Like, when he shoots off the dribble pull-ups, he's generally pretty square and just shoots. It's anything where it's a spot-up or he's shooting like free throw. Yeah, he gets his whole body almost completely sideways. You would never teach anybody the shooting form to be away, but it's been effective enough for him. This is for Campaign. Let me make sure I have this right. I think this is year 10 for him. Yeah, this is his 10th year in the league. Like, that kind of just, I was like, how did that happen already? Because I remember when, like, they remember it was the rookie of the year campaign was like the big thing that was going on, I think, with Oklahoma City back then with him. Mm-hmm. So this is just fine to me. But you already have Jalen Brunson, you already have Miles McBride. They're both better than Campaign at this point. So he's really a third point guard. And I thought that was just going to be Tyler Kolek. But maybe the idea is, hey, initially let's get him in the G League. Let's let him play some games for Westchester. We'll have Payne come in and do his thing here for us. But yeah, here we are.
All right, let's go here. The Clippers reportedly are actually disappointed that Kawhi got pulled from the Olympics. Even Clippers fans were kind of happy that Kawhi was not going to play in the Olympics because then you don't risk injury. So a lot of people went to, oh, the Clippers probably pushed him to pull out of the Olympics here. Now the Clippers are saying, oh, no, it wasn't us. We're actually really upset that he's not playing. Do you buy that?
No, no, not at all. Somebody's doing some CYA here of some level, right? I think it's the... You've got the Team USA my guess is Team USA was like, is he okay? And the Clippers were like, yeah, we don't know. In Kawhi's camp, who that's who was said initially, approached Team USA and was like, yeah, we don't know if he should play. And I think a lot of us assumed that was the Clippers, but it sounds like that was actually maybe like Kawhi and his group. And we know they're the one group we will not hear from on this subject, because he didn't talk to anybody. The next time we'll hear anything from Kawhi Leonard will be at Media Day in the end of September, right? Like he's not going to do anything over the summertime, I would guess, unless, you know, it's completely out of the blue. So my guess is this is the Clippers. Maybe they're doing a little damage control of, hey, don't spend the next, you know, 2 months worrying about this guy. Like, he's okay, he's fine. Like, we don't know why they pulled him, and, you know, it'll be all right. Don't cancel any season ticket packages in the new building. Like, he'll be there. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's some of what's going on here. But yeah, I'm really not entirely sure with this one. So,
yeah. Well, what do you think about Jaylen Brown saying he got snubbed because Nike didn't?
I don't know.
Didn't want him there. Like, that was.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little weird. Like, he's been very outspoken critic of Nike. He has played a lot of games in Nike because he doesn't have a shoe deal. So he's played a lot of games in Nikes, but he removes the Nike logo from them when he plays in Nike. So yeah. I mean, he's clearly got an issue with Nike. I don't know, you know, what that all fully stems from. I know he was outspoken critic of them when they kind of dumped Kyrie. He had stuff to say, but he had stuff to say about them previous. So maybe, I mean, we know they have some influence, but I mean, Steph Curry's not a Nike guy and he's on the team and gonna start and be one of the faces of the whole thing. So I really don't know what to make of all that. I think it's probably a whole lot of different things. I have heard a lot of people say that if it turns out Kevin Durant can't go, like, it's just like, just grab Jaylen Brown and just be done with it at that point. And I'm as much as, like, I've already said, like, I don't really need a fourth Celtics guy as a Celtic fan on Team USA.
Sure.
Because, like, good Lord, put your feet up, please. But it's, but yeah, I mean, fine. Like, if that's the way they went, great. Yeah. All right. Go. Like, to, you know, at that point, I mean, I guess invite Luke Kornet if you need a big or something too. Why not just have him wear green and just call it good? Then we'll find out, can an NBA team really beat the world?
I think, move Studio to the other side here where he can get into less trouble. I think when you're trying to win gold, if what shoe company you're signed with has anything to do with whether or not you have a roster spot, something is wrong. If there's any truth to this at all, if this is any a factor in any way, something's wrong. That should not be a deciding factor. What shoe you wear should not matter for all of this kind of stuff. And look, I know there's politicking and all that sort of stuff that goes on. And there's guys who are, you know, they look at themselves as, yes, I'm a member of this team or I'm a player for this team, but I'm also with this agency. I'm with this shoe brand. And so I've got guys that are, he's on my team because we're with the same agency. This guy's on my team because we're with the same shoe brand or whatever. There's all that stuff within the game. But when it's Team USA and you're trying to win gold, this should not be a factor in any kind of way.
Yeah, I completely agree. It shouldn't, but unfortunately, there's a lot of things that shouldn't that are. And who knows? Yeah, you know, I mean, we're never going to find out probably the truth of it because nobody's ever going to bother to address it truthfully.
Yeah.
So, you know, but clearly that's what he thinks. And I was glad he did clear up. He's like, hey, I called Derek White. I'm very happy for him. I think it's great for him. This all came out of he was at the game last night and then caught him for an interview on the side and just kind of talked to him about a lot. Some of it was about, you know, hey, you won the title, you know, how are you feeling? And then some of that. It was fun. He was wearing an NBA Finals hat, so that was cool. He's obviously, they're still reveling in it, man, because, like, I haven't seen – I don't know if Jason Tatum has stopped smiling all summer. Like, I mean, which I guess – win a title, you go into Team USA, and then you get $314 million. You probably should be all smiles. Like, I think I could manage to crack a smile or two over the summertime if that was the case.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
All right, let's go here. We'll finish with this. The Warriors are open to Brandon Podziemski or picks for Lowry Marketing. So kind of we've got the back and forth. We talked about a little bit yesterday that the Warriors want to give up Moses Moody and nothing else to get Lowry Marketing. And the Jazz want everybody, Kuminga, Podziemski, Moody, picks, all the stuff for Marketing. Now you got it goes back the other way. The Warriors, well, we will give Podziemski, but not him and picks. Right. Yeah. We can do either. You can have picks or you can have pods. You can't have both. This is all comical at this point.
Yeah. One, just a little peek behind the curtain here for everybody. When we write up these programs, the program we used to record, we create these little banners and I double checked to make sure marketing was spelled right. And you had it. You got it this time. So I was excited for that.
I reminded myself.
Yeah, I mean, and that's two tough ones, right? Podziemski and Markkanen in the same sentence. That's not easy.
I will admit I double checked on Podziemski. I double checked on that one just to make sure.
I think now we're to the point where we're doing a little negotiating through the media, right? Like that's what's happening here. It's like, oh, we can't give up Podziemski and all of the picks. And then let's say this does happen. Maybe it's Podziemski and a pick, right? Maybe that's how it comes together, but Podziemski alone is not enough to get Markkanen, even just salary matching wise. So you needed something else would need to be in the deal, and we'll see how that all comes together. But Shams did say that there was no real sense because this came out of a thing from Shams Charania on SiriusXM NBA radio yesterday. He did say one of the people interviewing said, well, and Jonathan Kuminga, and he goes, that doesn't really seem to be a thing. He's like, they're really focused on Podziemski and draft picks. This is what the Jazz are focused on. My guess is the Jazz, they have drafted a ton of forwards in the last 2 years. And my guess is they don't want to be in a position where it is, now we have to turn right around and pay Kuminga a whole bunch of money. I think they're looking for, we're going to be terrible if we trade Markkanen. Let's build out with just full-on kids who are under team control for a couple years. Play it out, get a few more guys coming in. Because, right, your ideal situation would be bottom out, get the first pick, draft Cooper Flagg, who then immediately comes in and overlaps in position with Jonathan Kuminga. So then it becomes, all right, now we just signed Kuminga and we draft. Like, that gets kind of messy and you'll be almost kind of potentially the same spot. So, but I don't know that they're going to turn their nose up at Jonathan Kuminga either. But it's like, hey, we'll put Kuminga in a trade too. Just doesn't seem like he's enough to headline the package.
Right. That makes sense. Still not sure that this ultimately gets done. But, I mean, when there does start to be a little bit of back and forth rather than, hey, we talked about it yesterday. The Jazz are on one end of the spectrum. The Warriors are very far on the other end. They're not close at all. Now, I mean, at least maybe we've moved a little bit towards the center. So who knows if something gets done here or not. But interesting that we are getting this kind of back and forth here. Although, Keith, in general, I mean, sometimes we see some much publicized moves actually get done. But to me, anecdotally, it does seem like it's the moves that get negotiated in silence that are the ones that really wind up happening and get across the finish line. Once it gets public and too much of the back and forth gets out, it seems that things can tend to fall apart.
Yeah. And especially with Danny Ainge, it's all the stuff that gets out there that gets talked about all the time. That's rarely the way it goes down with him. Like think about the Kyrie Irving trade to the Celtics. That came completely out of left field. Like nobody saw that one coming. And then they were they weren't on his list of teams. So it just kind of comes together with that way. So yeah, I think the more we hear about this, the kind of less likely this is going to go through. Mark Stein just released his latest newsletter. So I'm just kind of looking to see if there was anything in there. Doesn't really look like any super newsworthy notes. So,
yeah. Right. Okay.
Cool.
Well, that's the point of the year that we're in right now while we're waiting for some other stuff to happen. But please make sure that you do subscribe to the channel. Don't forget to turn on those notifications. And Keith, we'll be back tomorrow with more going on around the league.
Yep.
Until then, everybody, we'll see you and stay safe.